Good evening, everyone. I'm John Hermanson. I'm the artist in residence up here at the Village this summer. For tonight's worship, we're going to be doing a liturgy that I composed. I was commissioned to write by a group in Minneapolis that is no longer in existence, unfortunately, but the name of the congregation was Mercy Seat, and during their time, they commissioned many, many liturgies that are all very, very awesome, and I encourage you to check them all out online there. I can help you find them if you're interested. And this is just one of them. And this is the first time. This is the summer debut here at Holden. It's been done over Lent and Advent, I believe, over the last couple years. But this is the first time we're all singing it in the summer. So it's new to everybody, and just sing your hearts out. Feel free to make mistakes.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Return my soul to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you and delivered you from death, your eyes from tears, your feet from stumbling. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray. For the peace of the world, the well-being of the church, and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and all who offer here worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Is this the feast of and
Let us pray. God of grace and justice, walk with us through tension and paradox. Hold us in your love as we gather in your mystery and in your revealed truth. Teach us to love your stories. Bless our questions and help us value each voice as we learn together about the love and care you call us to share with all people and all of your living creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
A reading from Genesis, beginning with chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And years later, from chapter 21, the Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as was promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The word of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel. Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, and even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, come now and grow our faith. Come and deepen our hope. Come and strengthen our love. And come and water within each of us here the desire to be your faithful family forever. Amen. We've seen it many times. A post-match interview, a panel of experts asked the question, what was the secret for the team's success today? And the panel of experts reply, well, you see, they executed the basics perfectly. They corner the defeated coach in the locker room after the same game. They say, coach, shoving the microphone in his face, coach, now what? We've got to go back to basics, says the coach. We need to go back to basics is spoken as a plea. We need to get the basics right, spoken as a plan. Back to basics. Essentially is the recommitment to first principles. What are first principles? First principles do not age, they do not wear out, they never should be replaced, they never need to be replaced. They are deemed foundational. If forsaken, whatever comes after will surely fall. You either move with them, or else we will not move very far. First principles are the primary building blocks of all other principles, without which all other principles become less principled. And so this ancient story of Sarai and Abraham I want to invite you to see it with me tonight as the original back to basic story. It's the primary collective of first principles. It follows after some spectacular defeats. Team Adam and Eve went down to the snake and fruit, and that was a big loss. We're still suffering. Abel was literally killed by Cain. And when the flood was finished, instead of revealing a well-watered creation, we saw Noah drunk in the nude. Not to mention the Tower of Babel. We don't have to say much about that because we know people obsessed with towers suffer from God complexes. And so after these very spectacular defeats, an angel shoves the mic in God's mouth and says, God, now what? And God replies, we got to go back to basics. If all are going to live life in its fullness, if all are going to have a blessed life, we got to return to first principles. And so in the ancient story of Sarah and Abram, God begins again. God, Sarah, Abram begin again together. And so here are a few first principles gleaned from this ancient story. And so tonight is more a reminder note than a sermon. You're going to hear nothing new. But sometimes it's just helpful to be reminded of what we already know. First principle, the first principle is that the beginning, this beginning we talk of, this beginning we long for, the beginning begins with God. God takes the initiative. It's God's idea to get hold of Sarah and Abram, not Sarah and Abram's idea to get hold of God. At best, you and I are first respondents. God starts the ball rolling. Regardless of who the director is, God starts the ball rolling. Regardless of who is elected president, God starts the ball rolling. God's compassionate commitment to the world is where all blessing, all life originate. God makes the first move, God speaks the first word, and by grace through faith, we hear it. Now, I know the text says God spoke and they went. God called, they heard. God commanded, they obeyed. But we know seldom works that way. Seldom works that way. And their age gives us an inkling that it probably didn't work for them either. It's more like a nagging thought than a clear call. A faint image, a gentle or an irritating whisper, leading us to believe many or much of the time that we are simply in conversation with ourselves, leaving us with a growing unease, a throbbing question, or sometimes a deep fear that we have kept submerged within the waters of our life, floats to the surface and grips us by the throat. Confusion almost always precedes conviction. And sometimes all we are convicted of is that what is not right. What is should not be. And then we hear, I have not come to bring you peace, but a spirit of discontentness with what is and what should not be. We may not be given clarity of what should be, but all we know is that we can no longer associate ourselves and participate with what is and what shouldn't be. That much we are clear on. And so we say it's time to leave. It's time to pack up and leave our father's patriarchal house. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. We declare we're leaving. Where are you going, they ask. We do not know. All we know is we can't stay. Yes, I know it's safe and secure here, but safety and security no longer satisfy. It's salvation I long for. You see, safety and security promises to save me from the cross, while salvation promises to enable me to carry the cross. A nation that's obsessed with safety and security will lose their life as they promise to preserve you from the crosses. At the same time, they will be manufacturing millions and millions of other crosses. When one is saved, you're saved to carry the cross, to release the world of one more cross that needs to be carried, to give your life, to give it away. A disciple is not greater than the teacher. A cross-carrying teacher can only be followed by cross-carrying followers. And that's it, you see. We have this longing, because we know safety and security hasn't satisfied. We have this longing. You and I, we have this longing. It's our deepest longing. It's our longing to give our life away for something that brings life. That's our longing. It's also our deepest fear. And so we need someone to give us a sword not to kill, but to cut us loose from the fear. To cut us loose from the fear of preventing us from being released into this longing. Second first principle, God doesn't work in isolation. God works in partnership with people, all people, but especially overlooked people, ignored people. People who have been made to believe that their lives don't matter. People who reason that a news network is more likely to carry the story of a fallen sparrow than their life. Abram, Sarah, Barron lived in the shadow of shame. They had little going for them by way of a future. Barron, they bordered on extinction. In other words, they didn't have much to bring to this partnership, except the hunger and thirst from not having anything to bring to the table. Blessed are the poor, for they carry within them a longing for change, like the wealthy do not. For the poor, change is a promise. For the wealthy, it's a threat. And so the poor carry their faith not in the recital of doctrinal creeds. They carry an embodied faith in their longing for new life. It's in their body. They have no vested interest in the status quo, because the status quo is what is taking their life. And so they are more open to explore a new reality that is not connected to this present. Perhaps let's call it a heavenly future, filled with the promises of new life. a reality deemed impossible, deemed too wonderful even for God by the privileged and powerful. Or hang on to all they have and lose everything. Next first principle. They were faithful, these two, but they weren't perfect. Their lives were full of lies and laughter, prejudice and jealousy, agreeing to murderous policies of exclusion, of deportation. Think Hagar and Ishmael. The gift of Sarah and Abram's sin is not so much that God could take it and weave it into God's plan. The gift is so that you and I can see what sinning boldly looks like and become a little bit more truthful about our own life. Who agree to murderous policies of deportation. Faithful does not mean we do not fail. What it means is that when we fail, we know to whom to return. The one who called us in the beginning. The one whose compassionate commitment is constant. Next principle, God works in people and through people. In other words, the problem that needs working on needs to be addressed inside us as well as outside of us. Don't think we can solve the problem outside of us without addressing inside of us. And so God is committed to doing the delicate work of knitting together new life in your being. It's deeply personal. It's the work of a lover. And then God says, I'm not merely interested in coming to you. I want to come through you for the sake of the world. God so loved the world that God called Abram and Sarah. For the sake of all people, all nations, all families. God's dealings is always personal and political and one and the same time. Next principle, God's means and ends are one and the same. On this Holden journey of new beginnings and all the new beginnings that may be surfacing in your mind at this time, if we are not tempted to give up on the new beginning, on the promise of new life, I can promise you now we will be tempted to forsake God's instructed means to reach the promise. We will attempt to engineer descendants by socially and culturally accepted means that have nothing to do with God at all. That will be our great temptation. If this place, Holden, is going to become popular throughout the world by any other means than humble service and faithfulness, the promise will die. Regardless of how many people ever come here. Now, it's not for us to know dates or times. I can't say when this end will arrive. But this is what I can say. In the meantime, God will send angels to us as long as we are open to the stranger. It's a condition. If we are open to the stranger, then every road we travel will be an Emmaus road. What is an angel? An angel is someone who reminds us of our godly partnership. An angel is someone who reminds us of God's need for us in this world. An angel is someone who reminds us of the promise of blessing, not just for ourselves, but for all. An angel is someone who reminds us that God is not finished with us yet, that God is not finished working in us yet, that God is not finished working through us for the sake of the world yet. And then finally, It jumps ahead of the text. But I feel obligated to warn you that when God's promise gift is finally given, be warned. The moment we worship the gift instead of the gift giver, the gift will be as good as dead. And God will command that we sacrifice it in order for it to be resurrected to new life. And Jesus may even give us the sword. Let's be quiet, and if there's anything in those words of God, may they settle in our life. Amen.
Let's sing hymn 696, Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult.
Together in the Spirit's embrace, let us pray for the mending of the world. Generous God, you give us all we need, and yet we do not share your abundance. Help us to be good stewards of your creations and all you have given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of peace, change the hearts of leaders who promote violence and division. Enlighten their minds with your holy imagination, opening new paths to peace and renewed life together. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, you tell us not to fear, but we do. Give us courage. Give courage to everyone to stand up against oppression and bigotry, against hunger and homelessness. Bring healing to all your people. Lord, in your mercy. God of community, thank you for the gift of Holden and all who gather here to serve, learn, worship, and laugh with you and with each other. Teach us to welcome one another and help us lean in to hear each other's stories. Be with us as we begin to gather this summer. Lord, in your mercy. For what else the people of God pray? We give thanks for the baptism of baby George on Wednesday, for the engagement of Dallas and James on Thursday, and for the marriage of Chris and Catherine that we celebrated yesterday. Bless these moments and our celebrations in this abundant community. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your care through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you now and always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of God's peace together.
We continue with our offering.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
With all the saints of Africa and Asia, India and the islands, Europe and the Americas, we praise you, O God, for you create the worlds. With all the baptized, the old and the young, the weak and the strong, the famous and the forgotten, we bless you, O God, for you provide us with water and food. With all the faithful in cities and on farms, in mansions and huts, past and present, we worship you, O God, for you shelter the generations. With all your holy people, those who served the poor, those who ministered in the church, and all who walked the way of the cross, we glorify you, O God, for in Jesus you journeyed with us on earth. With Paul and the gospel writers, we remember the meal of your Son. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. With Peter and all the martyrs, we honor Christ's death, saying Amen.
Amen.
With Mary Magdalene and all the apostles, we proclaim Christ's resurrection, shouting Amen.
Amen.
With John and all the theologians and mystics, we look for Christ's returning, pleading Amen.
Amen.
With Mary, the mother of Jesus, and all who sang of your greatness, we pray for the power of the Spirit. Visit this gathering, this bread and cup, with the presence of the body and blood of Christ. Form us into a communion of service and infuse your earth with wholeness and healing. With grandparents and godparents, with all those who seek your justice and love, lead us to a future we cannot yet see, and draw all humanity into your abundant life. Now, with all of the family you saved by your love, we shout blessing.
Blessing.
Glory.
Glory.
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Honor.
Honor.
Power.
Power.
Might.
Might.
Be to God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
All are invited to share in this feast. At this table, Christ's body is given for the reconciliation of all the world, in forgiveness and in love. All are welcome. If you wish to come share this meal, please come forward with those you are seated near. You will first be served bread, which you can take into your hands and eat. There'll be gluten-free wafers in the middle. You will then be invited to share Christ's cup in one of three ways. You can first be invited to drink from the common cup directly. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, simply pass by the common cup, take an empty cup from the basket, and proceed to either the first pitcher, which is wine, or the second pitcher, which is grape juice. And if you wish to receive a blessing, you can just come forward with your hands bowed, and we'll offer you a blessing as well. All are welcome.
Who asks the sun?
Did the day give way to the deafening dark? Did you fear you were alone? Did the rain turn to snow? Did the snow hide the only path you've ever known? Did you wonder who would stand up for you and lead you safely home? Could it be you were called for a time such as this? Could it be? Could it be? Could it be you were called to be hope for the hopeless, light for the darkness, love for the enemy? So many have mourned, so many have died, so many are still oppressed. Who will bring justice? Who will bring peace? Who will comfort the ones in distress? Was it only your echo you heard when you cried for those lost in the wilderness? Could it be you were called for a time such as this? Could it be? Could it be? Could it be you were called to be hope for the hopeless, light for the darkness, love for the enemy? Hope for the hopeless, light for the darkness, love for the thank you. was this the feast of victory?
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of all things living, just as you have given holy food and drink to us who hunger and thirst for life, feed all those who hunger and nourish all those who thirst. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Our sending hymn tonight is hymn number 881, Let All Things Now Living.
Things now living, all things living to God the Creator.
Go in peace, feed others as Christ has fed you. Thanks be to God.